Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Conley knocks it away from Sabonis. And on the move, a stop and pop three. Got it, and a foul. 4-point opportunity for that man, Anthony Edwards.
That the audio from FanDuel Sports, Anthony Edwards, and the Wolves, back in action tonight against the Utah Jazz. The Wolves are 6-4, the Jazz are 3-6. But Ant-Man, he is back. He returned against the New York Knicks, was a little bit off his game, had a spectacular performance against the Utah Jazz on Friday. So much so, because he had 37 points. I mean, I left the game early, right? Like, I filled in for Jason DeRusha on Thursday and Friday.
Had to beat traffic?
I'm watching the game. They're blowing them out. That was the game in which they ended up winning by 30. Like, I just wasn't going to sit there for the entire game when they were in complete control from opening tap. And I said, I'm going to go home. I got an event the next morning. I had an event with Joe Mauer. That I do every single year with him, a bowling event. And so I'm like, I'm just going to go home and get some rest, man. I'll watch the rest of it in bed, and I'll get up in the morning, try to go work out, and we'll do our event and support the community and all that good stuff, which I did. So to me, I was just like, I wasn't into it. Now, we know that Utah, they're a much better team at home. They typically are. It's not it's a tough place to play. But I'm first off, I think that Wolves fans need to have their eyes wide open with regard to Jaden McDaniels. Jaden McDaniels, in my opinion, is the second best player on this team. I know that people look at Julius Randle and what he means to the team and all that, but if you're talking about just pound for pound, skill-wise, who is the second best player on the team? Because we know the best player on the team is Anthony Edwards. I think it's Jaden. And I think that Jaden is the type of guy that even when his stats aren't massive, he is impacting winning just as much as a Julius Randle. So I love how we've seen him continue to evolve and add to his game. Jaden McDaniels is adding every single year to his game. And I love that about him. So we've got Jaden that's doing his thing. That's awesome. I think that we're starting to see a little bit of playing time for Rob Dillingham. He's not getting a lot of playing time, but he's getting just enough. And to me, that is important. Now, let me go ahead and say this right now because I was asked about it at Target Center on Friday, and somebody asked me over the weekend at the charity event too. And let me just go ahead and say no. N-O, no, I don't want to trade for Ja Morant. I don't want to trade for Ja Morant. I don't care about giving away multiple first-round picks, giving away Julius Randle, trading away. No, I'm not. Because, number one, I'm not the big – Ja Morant's a spectacular, extremely talented player. I think he's a headache. I don't trust him off the court. And why am I parting with future picks and potentially Rudy Gobert to try to get a Ja Morant and – if what they want is Rudy and other pieces and picks, how good are you going to be defensively? You won't be good. So, for the record, you heard it from me directly. I don't want Ja Morant.
You're not going to take your shot? You got to shoot your shot?
It's just irritating.
Well, when you said multiple first-round picks, I had to laugh because I'm like, are we trading like the 2050s now? Like, how many first-round picks have we already dealt for Rudy. I mean, are we, is this just constantly going to be NBA, you know, 2K? Are we just going to keep continuing to, you know, just trade all this future collateral? I think where you're at right now is fine. You develop, there's a reason you traded up for Rob Dillingham. You got to figure out a way to develop him because he's kind of the one guy that everybody's waiting for. I mean, ultimately, he's your successor to Mike Conley. I mean, Dante DiVincenzo,
He's
not a point guard. I mean, he's in the starting rotation, but he's not a point guard. You got Ant basically running your point. Get the ball into his hands. I totally understand that. But yeah, when you're talking about all of this, this is why I was not a big fan of you know, exploring a deal for Kevin Durant. Like any of these big time stars, sure, it looks good and it sounds good, but you mentioned Ja Morant's a headache. Like that
yeah,
is
I'm not into it, man.
That is something that I don't want any part of because it
this is Ant's team, and I don't need bad actors around Ant or Jaden or anybody else.
Yeah, and you're going to be taking away so many different pieces that at the end of the day, you're going to get a star, a superstar, but you're losing more than you're getting. And I mean, your window, I feel like the more you're trading your first round picks, like the smaller your window to win now is. You know what I mean? Because you're banking everything on the here and now. I mean, Oklahoma City did it perfect. They've got a good young team and they've got a ton of future draft collateral. So it is just really an asinine thought. Ja Morant, the only guy that I would consider making a haul for is Giannis. But outside of that, like
we don't have enough to get Giannis.
No, if Giannis is on the block and you want to explore it, sure. But I'm not even sniffing. If Memphis calls, I'm letting it go to voicemail.
651-461-9226. I want to talk about Utah for a second too, because that's who the Wolves are playing tonight at 8. Have you seen Utah lately?
Yeah.
In the last year or two?
Yeah, they suck.
I'm trying to figure out what the Utah Jazz are trying to do. And I say that because they gave their coach an extension in the offseason. I thought that in professional sports, to get an extension, you got to show that you're improving. Like, the Utah Jazz are not getting any better.
No.
I don't understand it.
They're not in, and I mean, one of their best players, Colin Sexton, is now in Charlotte. I don't understand, what are your building pieces? Like, who are the guys that you are? I mean, like, Kyle Filipowski, is that your guy? You're like, Walker Kessler, is that the guy? Like, when I look at them, I just don't see anything that is like a franchise guy that you build around. And it's a little, it's confusing. But I'm glad that at least we've got at least some semblance of a plan that I can see. I mean, we've got concepts of a plan here. I don't even think Utah doesn't even have concepts. They haven't even Googled plan.
I just don't get it with the Will Hardy stuff. I don't see it. I don't see that. And I'm not saying that he's a terrible coach or the worst. But typically, to get an extension, you got to show them that you got a little bit of something. I don't know what their plan is. Like, I'm trying to figure out what they're doing.
Maybe you think that these are the guys that you have that stability in the front office and the coaching staff, and then I don't know. Maybe the player development, because that's one thing that we struggle with for years, and we're finally getting to it. Maybe that's one thing that they feel like that staff can do is you bring in these young guys.
Right now, his coaching record is he's got 88 wins and 167 losses. He's got a winning percentage of 34%. They gave him an extension. This is year 4. Like, what?
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
I mean, I feel like the Harper kid is kind of the Harper
No,
kid?
He's on San Antonio.
Oh, San Antonio. Okay. I was thinking.
No, they got Ace Bailey.
Ace Bailey. Okay, that's who I was thinking. The one that was like, if you pick me, I'm not going to go there.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, yeah. I'm sorry. It's Ace Bailey. I don't know if that's your guy, if that's your ace in the hole. I don't know. Yeah, I was thinking because there were the two Rutgers kids. I got him confused because they both went to Western Conference teams. But, yeah, Ace Bailey was the one that made the big stink that don't draft me. I'm not going to go to Utah. I'm not going to show up. And I don't know what they're doing. I don't. Long gone from the days of, you know, Jerry Sloan and Karl Malone and John Stockton. They start coming back for Utah.
So for the 651, hi, Henry, I also agree. I agree, they say. Also, he appears to have less of an ego than anyone in the league. He just quietly does a job day in and day out. He's talking about Jaden McDaniels there. And look, I love Jaden. Have been dapping him up ever since he first got here.
Mm-hmm.
I love his demeanor because Jaden don't say a lot. Like, I'll see him. It ain't even a whole lot of words. It's like, what's up, man? You know, how you doing? Whatever, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And then he just goes about his business. He is the guy. Let me repeat this. If you say that you are going to get into a fight at the bar, who do you want with you? That guy. He's that guy. Out of all the guys on the roster, he is the tough guy. Yes, he might be skinny, but he's the tough guy. It ain't Rudy. It ain't even Ant. And I'm not saying Ant ain't got no dog in him. He does. But Jaden McDaniels is like that. Like, he's like Kendrick all over Drake. He ain't playing.
Yeah, he does not look like he's somebody that, well, I mean, it was a couple years ago when he was end of a playoff series, what, he got mad, he, like, punched a wall, broke his hand, and that was it. One thing I do like about Jaden is that his all-around game continues to develop, and he's one of the true 3-and-D guys that you can look at, and you're like, okay, it used to be great defensively. He's got flashes of an offensive game. And now he's starting to show a little bit more of that. And you got that tenacity. That's good because you do need those dogs. And, yeah, it's like you don't need to be, you know, a big, tough Charles Oakley, Anthony Davis sort of thing. No,
yeah,
or not Dale Davis.
Yep. All right, coming up next, we've got Bite of the Night. That's next year on The Late Show.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, this by the night, I find really interesting. And it actually is a thought that I had years ago, back when Donald Trump was running for office the first time around, back in 2016. And it was a question that I had for my co-host at the time when I was in Kansas City. Because when he won the first time around, I was hosting in Kansas City. And my co-host voted for Donald Trump. Since the first election, he has since not voted for Donald Trump, but he voted for him back in 2016. And I said to him at the time, kind of like leading up, and we were just sitting around, it was me and my co-host and our producer. I said, what is appealing about Donald Trump to you for you to want to vote for him? I said, because he is the opposite of who you are. He is got money. He comes across as somebody that doesn't really care about the average person. He is selling you a hope and a dream about your life's going to be better. You're going to make a lot more money, because that's what my co-host told me. He says, we're going to make a lot more money. And I said at the time, I said, that's just fundamentally, I'm not buying that. Me and you, we are individuals that live check to check. He is not going to enhance our salaries or the money that potentially we will make. I think that these are fraudulent claims, and I think you're being bamboozled. And he says, well, no, I don't think it's that way. Sure enough, it has been that way. But somehow, some way, he resonated. And look, part of it, I understand from the standpoint of he wasn't the typical career politician and people were looking for something different. But not in him. Not the guy with the gold toilet. Well, Joy Reid, She's a pretty astute political observer. I know she's no longer with MSNBC. But here in this clip, and it's a little bit of a lengthy clip, so just kind of listen. Maybe you'll agree. Maybe you will disagree. I think there's room for that. But she's talking about here why middle class and specifically poor whites, how they are viewed by conservative elites, the wealthy, like Donald Trump.
And wait, I'm sorry, y'all. I have to hit you with one more. Other big problem Republicans are going to have is their overall goal and the reason they went with Trump in the first place. The dirty little secret they won't tell you is that Trump was the vehicle to get broke, mainly broke white people, to go along with the plan they always had among Republican elites. And that's to get rid of Social Security, to get rid of Medicare, to get rid of Medicaid, right? To drop taxes on top income earners as low as possible, close to zeroing them out if possible, getting rid of the estate tax, meaning that super rich people can pass along monstrous wealth without paying taxes to their children and to their heirs. This has always been the goal of the conservative elite, the Koch brothers types, the Mercer types. That's always been the goal. But the problem is they can never sell that to regular white folks, because regular white folks will go, wait a second, what do I get out of that? You get nothing out of that. So what they've said is, we're going to give you cultural totems. We're going to give you a sense of superiority. We're going to give you Christian nationalism. We're going to feed into your demographic anxieties. We're going to make you feel like what we're really fighting is a war against people of color, against non-white immigrants, against demographic change, against secular people, against Muslims, against all these others. And that's what you should focus on. Right? This is what W.E.B. Du Bois called the wages of whiteness, meaning we give you nothing, but we make you think that we're giving you something much more important than decent wages and health care and a clean environment that won't kill you. What we're going to give you is a sense that you, as a white Christian, have got it made in this country, and you're going to be protected by the Republican Party from all of them. Rush Limbaugh specialized in this. Them. They're your problem, not us. Oh, no, not the financial elite. We're just going to keep exploiting you while we keep you distracted by the shiny keys of fear and demographic panic. Trump was the perfect vehicle to fix that, because he got working class white voters to just go in and to wrap themselves around a cult surrounding him, to essentially worship him almost like a god. So that he could be the vehicle to get the one thing he did when he was president, his one accomplishment, say it with me, that massive Paul Ryan tax cut, his only accomplishment as president. That's always been the goal. Stop being fooled by shiny keys.
I have never understood from day one, and even to this day, I have never. And look, I understand that we talk about race in different dynamics and complexities in the world. I have never for one moment understood middle class and even more so poor white Americans that have looked at Donald Trump and feel like he resonated with them. Like, it's one thing to talk about, because oftentimes we talk about sexism and racism and all that, but with regards to classism, I just have never understood it, bro. I've never understood it.
Yeah, to me, it's not even about thinking that you are going to be rich, because if you think that Donald Trump is going to make you rich, then you're living in some fantasy world. It's all about, to me, it's about the messaging, right? It's about tapping into the misogyny and the racism and the xenophobia and everything that you could not say publicly. Donald Trump normalized the vulgarity of kind of some of the discrimination that we've seen. And he's brought it to the forefront, and it's like, okay, well, he believes in the same things that we believe. he figured out how to tap into the vulnerable, uneducated, gullible individuals. He knew there were certain people that were going to, that were going to buy his shtick. He knew that people were going to buy his shtick. And guess what? Some of y'all fell for it. Some of you still falling for it.
I just don't get it.
And it's very transparent when you look at who Donald Trump is and what he's done in his history to know that all of this was just a house of cards. And it's very frustrating because you can see it coming from a mile away. But yeah, then you get yourself so wrapped up in a bunch of it that it's so frustrating. But at the end of the day, I mean, this is where we're at, and some are going to go down with the ship. You could see anything in front of you, and you're still going to go down with the ship. And
we're seeing it all playing out. Especially with the farmers,
all very predictable.
But, oh my gosh, it's infuriating to me that people are willing to go down with him the way that they are. Oh, by the way, text in. We want to wish the United States Marine Corps a happy 250th birthday. I got that in my email box from my fraternity earlier this morning, so to shout out to the United States Marines. All right, 651-461-9226. The wake-up call for professional athletes is here. We get to that next. I think that right now that we are having that wake-up call. We're having that wake-up call for professional athletes. The latest story involving sports wagering and gambling and all that, and this is a really big deal, is the situation with Major League pitchers Emmanuel Clase and Luis Ortiz charged with taking bribes to rig pitches for bettors. And these are prop bets, something that I would never even involve myself in. I would never bet on whether a guy's going to throw a ball or a strike. Like, that's just too much of a roll of the dice. I'm not into the prop thing anyway, but to each his own. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that I've never, ever placed a prop bet, because I did. I hit a prop bet on last year's Super Bowl with an anytime touchdown for DeAndre Hopkins. So I'm not going to sit here.
I remember you talking about that.
Yep. But the bottom line is it's so risky. I had the money to go ahead and make the bet, and I ended up hitting for like $500, which I cashed it out when I went to NBA Summer League last summer. But this is the wake-up call, I think. I think that of all the cases and the issue right now, Chris, is that right now we've had back-to-back issues. We've got the gambling stuff that's been involving Chauncey Billups and Damon Jones and those guys and Terry Rozier, and now we have this MLB situation. I think it's awesome that it's back-to-back like this, because I think that it's letting all these athletes know, bro, we cannot get away with this. They are putting down the hammer on the NBA. They're putting down the hammer on Major League Baseball. We can't even throw a pitch and get away with it. So I think that this 100%, well, I don't want to say 100% is going to be the one that will shut it down. It should be the wake-up call for all professional athletes with regards to trying to rig anything. It should be.
It should be. You know, there are still going to be some players out there that are going to think they can
get away with
outsmart the system. Absolutely. And for those players, I say good luck. You know, I do like, Henry, that this is Major League Baseball and this is the NBA. Like, these are two different professional sports. It's not just like, oh my gosh, this is an NFL issue or this is an NBA. No, this is all the way across. And when you've got the receipts,
yep,
on Luis Ortiz and Emmanuel Clase, like, they've got all of this documented where these bettors were at Clase's house after, and he got $11,000 out of this. And now,
when you're a multimillionaire.
Stupid. And I do – well, first of all, the leagues kind of set themselves up for this, right? Because the more that you partner – it used to be that the gambling and the sports books, everything was taboo. It was off limits. They wouldn't mention it. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't even mention fantasy football. I mean, Jimmy the Greek was I mean, he was kind of the only guy that could do it and get away with it because that was his shtick. And now everybody's got a sports book partner. Everybody's got a sports betting partner. Everybody's got a casino partner. Well, today, MLB actually announced an agreement with the sports books to cap wagers on certain bets at $200, which includes like pitch levels and, you know, the velocity and the type of pitches and everything. So I do appreciate Major League Baseball trying.
That's dumb.
I appreciate them trying to do this, but I don't think that at the end of the day, like, this isn't going to make that much of a difference.
It doesn't make a difference at all. I think it's actually ridiculous. And let me tell you why I think that the $200 thing is kind of ridiculous. I think it's ridiculous because this is for the legal bets.
Yes.
What about
legal?
What about the underground? What about the bets where it's? What about the bets that are happening illegally, like with the mafia and all of these other, like? That part, it just doesn't make any sense to me. Like, if Emmanuel Clase had a connection to illegal wagering and they said, hey, we need you to do some underneath-the-table stuff, mm-hmm. not some legal stuff, he probably would have got away with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
As opposed to the legal wagering. So, to me, from that specific perspective, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
No, and, I mean, when you're talking about the... Yeah, I don't want to go the whole, you know, movie route.
This does not necessarily help the integrity of the game.
No, it doesn't. All this does is you're going from you're shutting one eye and you're opening up the other eye. That's all you're doing on this. Because you talk about these, you know, the offshore books and things like that and, you know, the mafia. It's...
Because there's still more illegal wagering that's taking place in the world than there is legal.
Oh, no question. Yep. And that's why the whole Chauncey Billups and the poker and how in-depth that was working with the mafia. I mean, this seems like it's 1920s. Yeah, working with the mafia. Yeah, gonna throw a fastball here, 89. Nah. It's like that's... We're back in the Muggsy, you know, the gangsters, the Ford Ts, the Model Ts. This is always
waiting for Joe Pesci to pop up and just show his face, right?
Yeah, my cousin. Oh, not my cousin Vinny. Sorry, I'm thinking no. But no, it is. This is never going to go away. They have let the toothpaste out of the tube, and it's never going back in. And I feel like this is kind of like the wildfire you can't control anymore. I don't know how you get this under control, but all this is going to do is encourage those to go under the table instead of on the up and up.
Yeah, I just don't. I don't think that this. Look, what my hope is this. I hope that this eventually will nip it in the bud, and we don't have to worry about it. We know that there's always going to be one or two that will try to get around it, right? We understand that. But I think that if guys understand that they can't even throw a pitch
mm-hmm.
that's going to be under scrutiny, then they know they can't get away with anything. If you can't throw a pitch, if you can't check out of a game because you're, air quotes, hurt, then, I mean, these guys have to be smarter. They have to understand you're not going to get away with it. You may think you're going to get away with mm-hmm. it. You're not going to get – a guy can't check in and out of a game without it being under the microscope.
Yeah, everything is going to be scrutinized. And you think about the players that don't have anything to do with this, they're going to be under just as much. They're going to be under just as much pressure, unjustly so. You know, a guy like let's say Joe Ryan or a Pablo Lopez.
Yep.
Okay, if Joe Ryan throws two straight changeups, uh-oh. What's his third one? Is he going to throw another changeup? Oh, yeah. Well, that just might be it. So it's just so hard. It's right now we are in a position where the leagues jumped on the gambling and they wanted a part of it. And now that they're a part of it, you just cannot. This is something that they should have thought about beforehand. But the problem is there's always going to be something coming up. Like there's always going to be another scandal. Somebody else is going to want in on it. Guess what? These people you know, go by the wayside. They get caught. Oh, we got somebody new, though. You're always going to be, the allure is always going to be too strong for people.
Yep. All right, 651-461-9226. We'll take a break. We'll get the headlines. That's next year on The Lake Show. All righty. Let's dive into.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Headlines, Christopher Tubbs. He's like the master. He's like the DJ on the ones and twos.
Wiki, 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 what?
Let's see what you got, man.
Wiki, 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 what? Well,
What?
Krispy Kreme in the his house, yo.
Uh-oh.
That's right.
About to put on some weight, some calories, baby.
Drop down and get your calories on, girl. That's right, because Krispy Kreme, they are back, baby. They're returning to Minnesota this week after a 17-year hiatus, and the grand opening fanfare is expected to draw big crowds to the North Metro. Now, the chain is going to begin serving glazed donuts at 8 a.m. Wednesday at its new location in Fridley. At 5696 University Avenue Northeast, ahead of the opening, the city of Fridley is preparing to keep the roads safe during the influx.
I hope so.
Of visitors. We're talking about a Krispy Kreme, and I feel like we're talking about like a major construction deal at like 394 and 94, right? Well, the city said no road closures related to the opening are planned, but police will be out directing traffic to help minimize congestion. Those exiting the business on opening day will be guided to a right turn only exit that leads onto 57th Avenue Northeast. Krispy Kreme said the new Fridley outpost has also, quote, been strategically located to produce donuts for delivery to Minnesota retailers. Ooh, now, there's nice. No word. Yeah, there's no word yet on which retailers will be offering Krispy Kreme.
You know, I love that Krispy Kreme is back. I have always been a fan.
Mm-hmm.
And my love for Krispy Kreme goes all the way back to my freshman year, Morehouse College. I had never heard of Krispy Kreme. I had never been to a Krispy Kreme. And in the West End, that's the area where you have the Atlanta University Center.
Okay.
The West End Mall across the street.
West End?
Was a Krispy Kreme that was owned by Hank Aaron. And my very first experience, the light was on.
Yeah.
You talk about that first bite. Oh, my gosh. Heavenly.
I was going to say, did the heavens open up and the angels sing?
Man.
And you saw the glorious hand of the Lord?
Dude, it was so good.
Yeah, I remember it, you know.
So good.
It's good stuff.
And it's so good they would tell you, get them when the light's on. Like, you literally, like, if we were, like, done with studying for the week, you know, for the week and at the end of the weekend, and you're going to the West End Mall or whatever you're doing, if you're going past, you see the lights on, you had to stop.
See?
You had to stop, man.
Well, you got to get them when they're fresh, too. That's the thing. Like, I know that they're, like, you know, going to be distributed.
They're good, but you got to get them fresh.
You got to get them fresh, absolutely. Well, something you're not getting fresh at this point are some airlines and flights, because flight cancellations at airports across the United States are expected to persist even after the government shutdown ends. Federal Aviation Administration has reduced flights and some air traffic controllers unpaid for weeks as they've stopped showing up for work. Nearly 3,000 flights were canceled and at least 10,000 flights delayed yesterday, according to data from FlightAware. The Senate took a first step towards ending the shutdown last night, but final passage could still be several days away. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy made clear last week that flight cuts will remain in place until the FAA sees safety metrics improve. As of this morning, airlines had already canceled 1,600 flights for Monday, nearly 1,000 for Tuesday. International flights have not been affected.
Yeah, and we, I can't remember who was the guest that I talked to when I filled in for Jason, but yeah, international flights, there's a separate kind of rule for that.
Was it Kyle Potter?
No, it wasn't Kyle Potter. There's a separate rule for that. And so international fights seem to be exempt from all this. But at the end of the day, it's going to be interesting to see the holiday season, how we're able to kind of navigate it.
Yeah.
Because you've already seen flights be canceled, and the schedule's altered. If we reopen the government, it doesn't mean that everything's going to open up and be like smooth sailing immediately. There's probably going to be some delays with that too.
If you're planning on traveling for Thanksgiving, you might want to leave now because it's going to get ugly. Hey, the Trump administration has once again found itself at odds with a pop musician. After the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the White House drew Olivia Rodriguez ire for using her 2023 song All American B to promote self-deportations among undocumented immigrants in a November 4th social media post, agency is doubling down. In a November 7th statement, a spokesperson for the DHS told USA Today, quote, America's grateful for all the time our federal law enforcement officers who keep us safe, referencing lyrics in Rodrigo's song. We suggest Miss Rodrigo thank them for their service, not belittle their sacrifice. Now the response comes after the 22-year-old singer reportedly shared a sharply worded response to the video that read, don't ever use my songs to promote your racist, hateful propaganda. This according to Billboard and Rolling Stone. Now, this isn't the only time that a singer has objected to President Donald Trump and his team's use of their work to promote his political agenda. In 2024, the White Stripes sued the Trump campaign for posting a social media video that used their highly recognizable 2003 track, Seven Nation Army. Similarly, Kenny Loggins recently denounced the Trump administration's unauthorized use of his song Danger Zone in an AI video. The administration has also clashed with Pink, Tom Petty's estate, and Foo Fighters, to name a few.
Yeah, look, there are going to be artists that will say, I have no issue with Donald Trump using my music because I am a Trump supporter,
Kid
which
Rock,
is fine. And if there are those that say, no, you're not going to use my work because I don't support you in that way, that's fine too. Mm-hmm. So it goes both ways. There are going to be people that will be for it, and there will be people that will be against it.
Well, I mean, if there's one thing Donald Trump won't listen to, it's no means no. Hey, Wendy's is set to close hundreds of locations across the United States as part of its turnaround plan. Interim CEO Ken Cook announced Friday that a mid-single-digit percentage of Wendy's, approximately 6,000 locations, could close, which would amount to 300 to 350 restaurants. Cook told analysts that affected locations are those that are consistently underperforming and dragging down the chain's overall performance. A specific list of locations wasn't announced. The string of closures comes a year after Wendy's already announced the shuttering of 140 locations, citing similar underperformance issues. Now, Wendy's could use a jolt after reporting another downbeat quarter. U.S. same-store sales declined almost 5%, while rivals McDonald's, Burger King, and Shake Shack all posted positive earnings as customers gravitated towards their deals and marketing efforts.
Let me say this. I think that Shake Shack is overrated, and I like their burgers. Their burgers are fine. Their fries are not good. Burger King is fine. I think that Burger King is fine just because they have a one of those value menus.
Oh yeah,
that people could take advantage of.
See, I love their flame broiled like burgers. Love those.
McDonald's. I really don't eat McDonald's that much anymore. Although people love their fries.
Their fries are good.
Yeah, their fries are good. Wendy's, I just don't eat Wendy's anymore. I don't. And the most overrated thing in the history of fast food is the Frosty and Fries.
I have not had that, but I still have to.
You still haven't tried it?
I haven't tried it.
Final hour coming up next. You cannot live your life trying to appease everyone. We get to that next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.